Several years ago, I was at a conference with His Holiness the Dalai Lama and some Western scientists. And the topic of low self-esteem came up. And so these are all Western scientists, you know, PhDs and experts in their field and everything, sitting in the room. And we're talking about low self-esteem, and His Holiness isn't getting it. You know, he's saying, what do you mean low self-esteem? You know, I mean, kind of, what does that mean? And then he said, well, who has low self-esteem? And everybody in the room looks around, about 30 people, and says, oh, well, I do. And His Holiness just, I mean, he really was like shocked. And he said, but you all are very successful. And you have good careers and everything. And, you know, you're in the society in your country. You're at the top. Why do you have low self-esteem? And so then we brainstormed a number of different reasons why low self-esteem, you know, comes about. We started out with original sin and then moved on, you know, from there. Okay, original sin is a good place to start for low self-esteem. But, you know, but then also our advertising media really creates a sense of low self-esteem because it portrays what you're supposed to look like. And, of course, nobody looks like that. Okay, so then everybody feels bad about themselves. You don't look like the models in the magazine. You know, so that means something's wrong with me. I should look different. Yeah. So something's wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And this is for men and for women. Yeah. It goes maybe in slightly different ways, but everybody suffers from this. So we're talking about this with His Holiness. And then I noticed after that, when His Holiness gave a lot of talks, he, you know, public talks, he talked about compassion, and he mentioned compassion as an antidote to low self-esteem. And at first, I was very, very perplexed. I remember the first time I heard him say this. It was in San Francisco at some public talk, and he was saying how compassion is so valuable to help overcome low self-esteem. And I thought, as many people probably think, but wait a minute, compassion is for others. I have low self-esteem because I don't love myself. Don't I need to love myself? Why are you telling me to love others? Okay? This is kind of what I was thinking. Anybody else have that same kind of thing? Yeah, all right. Well, how can I love others if I don't care about myself? And then, but you know, when His Holiness says something, because He's my teacher, even if I don't understand it, I try and think about it afterwards, and why did He say that? What could He have meant? And after some time went on, I began to see that when we have low self-esteem, we're making ourselves the star of the show. Okay? When I have low self-esteem, you know, I'm so bad, I'm so terrible, I'm a failure, I'm no good, I'm unlovable, I did all these horrible things, I hope nobody's clairvoyant because then they'll know what's really going on inside my mind. You know, and my whole life is a wreck and everybody else is doing so much better and I've done these terrible things and I'm so full of guilt and shame and, oh my God, what am I going to do with my life? Okay? You know that? Yeah? I mean, yeah, maybe you could recite the script with me. So we go into our low self-esteem mode. And I began to see that whenever I get in that low self-esteem mode, who's the star of the show? Who am I thinking about? It's the exactly what that magazine's byline was. It's all about me. Okay, so whenever there's low self-esteem, my mind is hooked into self-preoccupation. What is compassion? Okay, Compassion is the wish for everybody to be free of suffering. So it's everybody. It's not just me. It has to do with others also. As soon as I change my focus away from me and I start looking at others and wish them to be free of suffering instead of focusing on my own suffering, what happens to my own low self-esteem when I do that? Yeah. It's not in my mind. Because my own low self-esteem is self-created. Yeah. It's nothing existing out there anywhere. I mean, where does low self-esteem exist? It exists in our own mind. Who creates it? We create it. Okay? We buy into all this rubbish that society teaches us. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah? So we, instead of using our discriminating wisdom when we're getting all these messages from society, we just buy into it and believe it's real, and we compare ourselves to the models, we compare ourselves to whoever it is that we were taught to compare ourselves to, and then we feel inadequate and we have low self-esteem. It's completely created inside of our own mind by ourselves. Yeah, it's nothing solid. It's nothing even made of atoms and molecules. It's just thoughts. That's all it is. It's just thoughts. Yeah. But because that thought me is so strong, it feels like this low self-esteem is just, you know, it's like pressing in on us and I can't breathe and everything like that. But it's not. It's just a mental state. It's just a bunch of thoughts, you know, headed by this big thought of me, 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 me. When we develop compassion, the object of the compassion, we can have compassion for ourselves, of course, but there's everybody else to have compassion for, too. Just that process of changing the focus of our mind from me to others changes our whole outlook on life. Because when we're focused on others and thinking about others, there's no time for all of that useless rumination of low self-esteem to go on and on and on in our mind. Okay? Because to have low self-esteem, you have to spend some time cultivating it. Okay? If you don't think about yourself and how adequate you are, you're not going to have low self-esteem. So it takes some time. Okay. If instead of using our time to think about me and how deficient I am and making up all these stories about everything that's wrong with me and how the world doesn't appreciate me and how shameful and terrible I am, if instead of doing that, I opened my eyes and looked around the world at other people's experience and had some empathy for them and some compassion for them, then my whole experience on life is totally different. My whole take on life is completely different. Okay? And all this pain of dwelling on me, I, my, and mine is gone. Okay? It's not being suppressed. It's not being ignored. Because it was only there in the first place because I created it. So if I stop creating it and pay attention to something else, things are going to be different. Okay? Getting what I mean? It seems sometimes to us almost impossible to do that. Because we're so rooted in that thought of I, that it seems like, how can I ever get beyond that? But it's just little by little increments, little by little practice. Okay? Here's an example. How many of you are parents? Yeah? Okay, so a number of you know what it's like getting up in the middle of the night for crying babies. Yeah? Okay, you did it probably for at least 2 years. And depending on how many children you had, you may have done it for many years right in a row, because as soon as one sleeps through the night, then the other one, you know, you have a new baby. Okay, so you're sleep deprived. The baby cries in the middle of the night. You got to get up and feed it. Are you angry when you get up to feed your baby? Yeah. Are you swearing at that baby for disturbing your sleep? No. Yeah. Why? Because you're looking at that baby and you love that baby. And you know the baby, you know, is hungry. You know the baby needs something. You know that you can help it. So, you know, you're sleep deprived, you're tired, but you're so happy to have that baby. And so you wake up in the middle of the night and feed it. If I asked you to wake up in the middle of the night for me for 2 years and feed me, would you do it? I don't think so. Okay. But if you look, you know, why for that baby? You know, because there's some love and compassion for that baby. Yeah? When your attention is focused on somebody else and that baby's needs, then you take care of that baby and you're happy to do it. And, you know, you don't sit and go, oh, another night you're waking me up in the middle of the night, beep, 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 can't you sleep through the night, you little brat. You know, you don't talk that way to the baby. You go over and you pick it up and, hi, sweetheart, I'm falling asleep, but I know you're hungry. Yeah? Okay. So you see what compassion gives you the ability to do? Uh-huh. You have compassion for the baby. You endure some hardship for yourself. You don't complain. Uh-huh. You don't complain. You don't look at the kid and say, I can't wait until you're old enough to speak so I can complain to you about having to feed you. You know, you don't think that. You're just delighted that there's this living being. So in the same way, whenever our attention is directed outwards towards others and we develop some fondness and affection and love and compassion for others, then our own situation takes back seat and we actually become more satisfied and happier. But whenever we're focused just on ourselves, then there's constant dissatisfaction. Constant dissatisfaction. I got another call last week before I came here. Somebody who does interviews for a magazine called More. Okay. Not self this time, it's more. Okay? But I would assume that the meaning is more for myself. Okay? And so I was thinking when they interview, you know, again, this is a magazine for women 40 and over, you know? It was real interesting. I went online and kind of looked, you know. I don't look like their models. And I don't think about what most of the articles talk about. But I was thinking more, you know, and to talk about, when she comes to interview me, more compassion. Because we usually think more for myself. I want more money. I want more good looks. I want more people liking me. I want more sex. I want this, I want a promotion, and I want status, and I want this, and I want this. And how about wanting to have more compassion? Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice? When we think of more, think more compassion.